morning, and welcome to worship in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's wonderful to be with you. And I'm grateful for the many that remembered to change the clocks and jump ahead an hour. So I'm grateful that you're here to worship. I am Reverend Corrine Boroff, and this morning assisting in leading worship will be Mary Brown and Marilyn Vance. Our music will be led by our talented Wesley Bells under the direction of Sarah Taylor. A Lent study will begin this Wednesday at 6 p.m. in the North-South Parlor. It is The Message of Jesus is the title of the study. It is written by Adam Hamilton. All are welcome to come and participate in this study. Daily devotions for Lent are out on the tall round table in the narthex. Those are written by Sarah Young, and you are encouraged to take those and read through. She writes very uniquely. She writes as if Jesus were talking to you. So I invite you to read a devotion daily and invite Jesus to talk to your heart and your mind. The Lenten Breakfast Series continues this week. At 8 a.m., they will be at LaPel Trinity United Methodist Church. You are invited for the breakfast and for a program. Used to only be inviting men to this. It is inclusive now, men and women. And if there are families that want to come, everyone is welcome. I have a special opportunity that I am very excited about to offer to each of you. It will center around our confirmation students and our mentors, but it will be inclusive. If there are any of you that would like to participate, or if you would like to come and be supportive of those that will participate, I have arranged for the Anderson University swimming pool to be available to us March 30th, and that will be at 2 p.m. That's a Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. We will gather at the swimming pool, and there we will either receive baptism or we will reaffirm our baptism. We don't re-baptize, but we can reaffirm our baptism, and that will be by immersion. So that means that you go under the water and you come back up. We do let you come up. So Allie and I will be facilitating that, and I'm very excited to be able to offer that to this congregation and to the confirmation class. So make note of that. Pray about it. If you want to participate, let me know, and I'll give you the specific instructions for that. We at Anderson First United Methodist Church make disciples for Jesus Christ by following our pathway, living our faith, nurturing families, serving our communities. Let us stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
As you return to your seats, let us center our hearts for worship.
Would you rise for the call to worship? On this first Sunday in Lent, we join Jesus in the wilderness, a place of wild and dangerous things, of testing and temptation away from the security of a home. Rescue us in the wilderness. Once again, we watch and listen as Satan throws out temptation upon temptation, and we find our security in Jesus, who does not waver from the truth. God, rescue us within the wilderness. Once again, we face our own frailty and realize that the wilderness is not nearly as dangerous as our choices to prioritize selfish gain and hoarding of power. God, rescue us through the wilderness. Once again, we call upon God in the wilderness of our lives, and we trust God's faithful reply. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When you call to me, I will answer. I will be with you in trouble. I will rescue you and honor you. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you. fasting for Lent, the prophet Joel gave us these words of encouragement. The Lord says, "Turn to me now, while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning." That is from Joel chapter 2, verse 12. So, let us fast from judging others and feast on the Christ within them. Fast from emphasis on differences and feast on the unity of life. Fast from thoughts of illness and feast on the healing power of God. Fast from bitterness and feast on forgiveness. Fast from self-concern and feast on compassion for others. Fast from discouragement and feast on hope. Fast from lethargy and feast on enthusiasm. Fast from idle gossip and feast on purposeful silence. Fast from instant gratifications and feast on self-denial. Fast from worry and instead feast on divine order. Trust in God.
Thank you.
Faithful God, who journeys with us through the wilderness of our lives, as we offer these gifts, we remember your sustaining presence. In this period of spiritual renewal, strengthen us to resist temptation and guide us to live in community with love and grace. May these offerings be signs of hope and acts of compassion that reflect the love you have shown us in Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
I invite you to pray with me. Gracious God, we want desperately to know you and to be like you. But in this wilderness of a world, we sometimes feel too confused, too depressed, or too worn out to stay committed to godliness. We are tempted to believe that the good life is the easy life, the life that is comfortable because we have put ourselves first and let others fend for themselves. Help us resist the temptations of the world, the temptation to value fine food and wealth and power over others instead of valuing kindness and mercy, justice and forgiveness. Help us to figure out what godliness looks like in our own lives. Help us to be more like you. We pray not only for this nation, but for all the nations of the world, for peace and a prosperity that is driven and characterized by spiritual wisdom. Help us not to be fractured by greed or discrimination or politics, but empowered by the Holy Spirit of reconciliation and unity. Help us to be more like you. We also pray specifically for our city and county and for all who have made this their home. Create in us a spirit of community and safety and family. Make our hearts generous toward all our neighbors, especially those who bear burdens we have trouble understanding, physical and mental illnesses, addiction, homelessness, unemployment, a legacy of violence. We pray for those among us who are afraid. Father, encourage and protect them and strengthen us to know how to help them find a way out of their wilderness. Teach us how to be more like you. We pray not only for this church, but for the church throughout the world, that the people of God together might lead the way toward wisdom, righteousness, and godliness. Forgive us when we fail. Teach us again not only to work toward the realization of your kingdom, but how to do that. Help us to be more like you. And now we pray together the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Please remain standing for the reading of the Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke 4, verses 1 to 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is God's word for God's people today. Thanks be to God.
There's an old movie that came out in 2000, and it's called Chocolata. And it is a movie about French, obviously, but it's a movie about a French village at the time of Lent, the time that we're celebrating now. And in part in the movie is that the whole village had given up all the very rich foods that they had in the village, and that was what they were going to give up for Lent. Whole village did that. But at the very same time that they were making this commitment, there was someone new that moved into the village and opened up a chocolate shop. And so the villagers found that they had to walk a different route when they would go into town and around so that they could actually just avoid being tempted by the chocolate shop. And in the movie, the most self-righteous people broke into the chocolate shop and just gorged themselves on all the chocolate. Part of the story. But Lent is not really about that kind of giving up, that kind of self-righteousness. It is about more, instead of giving up stuff, it ought to be about giving. Giving our lives over to Jesus Christ fully and completely. Giving ourselves over to Christ's strength, that Christ can work in us, that we can avoid temptation. There were four high school boys, and I don't know about you, but I can remember the conversations that happened in the springtime in high school, especially the senior class. Spring fever hit, and there was all this kind of wanting to skip class. Well, these four talked themselves into being okay with skipping school in the morning. They would go in the afternoon, but they were just going to skip in the morning. Well, they showed up after lunch and went into their classroom, and their teacher greeted them with a smile. And they thought, oh, good, we got away with this. And she asked why the four of them were late to school, and they said, well, we had a flat tire. And so she, still smiling, said, well, We took a quiz this morning, and you'll need to make that up. So have a seat, get out a piece of paper and a pencil, and this is your first question. Which tire was flat? Yeah. They were caught. There are consequences for giving in to temptation. And we know consequences for giving in to temptation and calling it sin. Well, I want to just take a moment also to think about sin. Is sin just not doing what the good that we ought to do, not doing it, or doing bad things? Is that all that sin is? I mean, if that were true, we could very comfortably, I'd say most of us, say, I don't really sin. But that's not necessarily the case. That's not really what we hear in our gospel. That's not how sin is defined. This giving in to temptation is taking the easy way through. Opting for the easy. That's what Satan was offering to Jesus. You see, Jesus, just prior to our scripture, he had been baptized. And the voice of God had opened up the heavens and said, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." He had been identified as the Son of God. Well, there, Satan was giving him an easy way out, an easy road to take, so that everybody would immediately know that this was the Son of God. He could just avoid all that teaching to people who just didn't get it, preaching on the hillsides, traveling and healing all those sick people. He could avoid all of that. But let's take a look at what Satan was offering. We don't want to dismiss that. But take a look at how that is the easy way. Very first one, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Well, that could be a really good thing. And folks, if you've never been to Israel, I challenge you to look up pictures of Israel. It is filled with rock. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he was surrounded by rocks, dust, and dirt. In fact, when I see shepherds, and I've been to Israel, when I've seen shepherds out with their flocks, I'm thinking, what are these sheep eating? I mean, they've been scraping stuff off the rock because it's just not lush and green. It's not a wilderness that we think of here in Indiana where it's an uncut forest patch. This was just open and rocky. But if Jesus had looked out on all the rocks that he had seen and had turned that into the bread, he could have fed everybody. And isn't God concerned about the hungry? The easy way. The second one, Satan says, worship me, and I will give you authority over all the earthly kingdoms. Consider that a minute, folks. Think of our world. If we just think of the United States, what would it be like if Jesus were in the White House? How would that change the world? It'd be very different if Jesus had the authority over all earthly kingdoms, over all the rulers. There would be peace on earth. It would be a powerful change, something to consider. And everyone would know Jesus is the Son of God. Look what he can do. Then Satan offered, Throw yourself down. They were up high. Throw yourself down off the temple and give God, let God perform a dramatic rescue of his son. Now that would tell the people a lot if Jesus had done that. It would tell the people that, look, God does watch. God does care. God does protect. Is concerned about each of us. He caught Jesus in midair and brought him down to the ground. God can be there. It would also, though, demonstrate that God can be manipulated. God is on call just for us. Now, all of those things were just a different way, an easier way, to let the world know that Jesus truly was the Son of God, and it would happen right now. I mean, isn't that what he wanted? But it would avoid all of what Jesus went through, including the cross. There would be no Easter morning. There would be no empty tomb. There would be no forgiveness of sins. There would be no end of eternal death and sin. There would be no salvation if Jesus took the easy way and avoided the cross. But isn't that what we are tempted to do from time to time? Christianity is a hard way of life. It's hard to do it. It's easy to do it on Sunday morning when we're all together and we're doing the same thing and we're talking about the same thing. But in our everyday life, Christianity is difficult. It's countercultural. It's not what we're prone to do. It's against our natural desires and our natural program that we are mentally programmed to do, to be independent, even of God. It's difficult to do that. So what are we going to do? What action are we going to take? You're thinking, well, really, I don't have to do anything. I just act like I do on Sunday morning, and I'm pretty good the rest of the week, right? Folks, what Satan offers when we are tempted into evil, it's not presented as evil. It's presented as he did to Jesus. It looks like pretty good options there. It's appealing to us. And right at the end of our scripture, even for Jesus, it wasn't the last that he was going to be tempted. It's what's recorded in our scriptures. But it says Satan waits for an opportune time. We're going to be tempted. There's going to be an opportune time. And we're going to be tempted again. The opportune time keeps coming around, so how can we resist it? Well, first of all, we have to resist by being prepared. We have to prepare ourselves because, you see, we fall prey to temptations when we are weak, when we are famished, when we're exhausted, when we're overly stressed, where we're unrested and we just keep on going. Our hearts are just filled with worry and concern for our loved ones, and we don't know who to turn to, and everything's just going wrong in the world, and we don't know how to care for it, and it stresses us out. We need to turn to Jesus Christ, depend on his strength. We need to rest on the Sabbath. God gave us and commanded us to rest. all the rest of it too, but rest is a big part of what we are to do. If Jesus was being tempted when he was at his weakest point, he had been in the wilderness for 40 days. He was starving. He was exhausted. He'd been out on the rock with nothing. If he is to be tempted, why do we think we're an exception? We're not. We have to prepare. We have to take care of us, ourselves, so that we can be prepared to resist temptation and recognize it when it comes. We also know the things that tempt us. For instance, if we are diabetic and there is a cheesecake in the freezer, we are tempted to pull out the cheesecake and eat it. But we can't be tempted if there's no cheesecake in the freezer. We don't put ourselves in situations where we can be tempted. We avoid those things that we know we might fall prey to. We prepare ourselves. We have a plan. Recently talked with a person who is having real difficulty with alcohol. And we were talking about how does she avoid alcohol. We're just talking about all the ways that she kind of snuck it. And the biggest way was when she'd go to the grocery store to shop, she would just stick one in the cart, a bottle of wine. So we talked about go shopping with a trusted friend or just order your food online and then drive up and they'll deliver it out to you. Find ways to avoid putting yourself in a situation where you are tempted. Make a plan. Plan ahead. Harry Houdini, a long time ago, he was called an escapologist. I love that word. An escapologist, which meant he was best known for being able to escape anything. Chains, cell blocks, in water, he was ropes, whatever, straitjackets. He could escape out of all of that. And he was very well known, and he performed many years. And he would do all of that escape artistry in front of his audience, in complete view of everybody that was there. But what actually got Harry Houdini was a blow he never saw coming. Well, after one of his performances, he was backstage in the dressing room. And some college students came back to have a conversation with him. And he was lounging back in his lounge chair. And their question to him was, because he had purported to be very physically fit. And they said, well, if we punched you, would you survive that? Would that hurt? And he said, I could stand a punch. Well, so one of the college students went up and went boom, boom, right in the abdomen. And punched him. And it was such a surprise. He had no idea that that was coming. It ruptured an appendix, and a week later he died. During the week that he was suffering and knew that he was succumbing and closing in on death, he said, if I had been ready, I would have tightened my abdomen and I would still be living. If he'd had a plan. Folks, we can resist temptation if we have a plan. Because our blow is coming. Satan's not done. There are opportune times in every one of our lives where we are open. We are fair game to being tempted. And it's not going to be an obvious temptation. It's going to look rational. It's going to seem like an easy way out. An easy way. But if Jesus had taken an easy way, we would not have any kind of relationship with our God. Jesus would be in control of the world, but we would not have access to forgiveness, to eternal life with our God. And Jesus gave us the example of how to resist. Make a plan. Be prepared. Be on guard. Because our temptations will come. And just like Jesus and the angels that came to minister to him, we don't do it alone. God can strengthen us to resist. Let us pray. God, we thank you for Lent. We thank you for the opportunity to be reminded that temptation is also a part of our life, just as it was yours. And you have shown us by example how to strengthen ourselves to resist. Continue to work in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us share our Lenten creed. We believe that our lives are held within the encircling love of God. Our Creator knows our names and recognizes our deepest needs. This is our faith that we humbly profess in Jesus' name. Entered the 40 days, and no, it's more than 40 days if you do the counting, but Sundays are considered mini Easters, so they're not counted. But we have entered 40 days just as Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. For us, it is symbolic of the temptations that Jesus experienced. But folks, our 40 days are a lifetime. They continue on as we continue to learn how to grow closer to Jesus Christ. Let us go with a heart open to learning. Amen.